Hello, and welcome back to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We're traveling together through the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, in 3 years. The Wisdom Journey is produced by Wisdom International. You can learn more about us by visiting wisdomonline.org. This is lesson number 2 in our journey. Stephen's taking you to Genesis 1. You know, the first verses of the book of Genesis may very well be the most important verses in all the Bible. They provide simple yet profound answers to the questions every person must address. More importantly, these verses contain the only true, satisfying, and comforting answers. That's because these words come from God Himself. They set the stage for all that follows. So let's pray together, and then we'll join Stephen for this lesson. Father, thank you for giving us your word, and thank you for this time to study it together. Please teach us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's Stephen with today's lesson called When Time Began.
I once read that President Teddy Roosevelt would often take guests out on the White House lawn after dark to look up at the stars. Sometimes he would even lie down on the grass to gaze at the night sky and invited his guests to do the same thing. After a little while, he'd get up, brush himself off, and say, "Well, I believe we're small enough now. Let's retire for the evening." He was onto something. You know, when we believe the biblical record of creation, and we stare out at the starry sky, God becomes really big, and we become really small. We're introduced to our Creator God in the book of beginnings, which is what the word Genesis means. And chapter 1 literally opens with the very beginning of time. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and told him in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is breathed out by God, literally God-breathed, that's translated inspired. So this is God speaking. And here in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1 are the very first recorded words in human history, and God is speaking. And here's what he says, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, this light isn't the result of the sun or stars being created. That will come later. This is the revelation of God's brilliant glory seen throughout the heavens and the earth as creation begins. By the way, we often miss the obvious fact that God is creating here in his revelation a vocabulary that everyone is still using to this day. In chapter 1, we read words that God is creating. Like in verse 5, where God calls the light day and the darkness he calls night. Down in verse 10, God calls the dry land earth and the waters are gathered together and he calls them seas. Well, to this day, we still refer to day and night and earth and seas. What's more, God actually creates the ability to communicate with sentences and grammar. Genesis chapter 1 follows consistent grammatical rules that are observed throughout the Old Testament. Without these guidelines, we would never be able to grasp what God actually did here in Genesis 1 and how long it took him to do it. Let me illustrate what I'm getting at. There's an old poem you probably memorized as a kid that says, "Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after." Now, that poem tells us that Jack and Jill went up the hill together to fetch some water, and several things happened, one right after another. Jack fell down and got a headache, and Jill came tumbling down after. This poem is describing consecutive events. In other words, one event is taking place on the heels of another. Now, we could read into this poem that Jack and Jill took 3,000 years to climb this hill, and then Jill came tumbling down 3 million years later. But from reading this poem at face value, you would never, in a million years, think that's what happened. This is precisely what the Hebrew grammar presents to us in Genesis chapter 1. These events are taking place one after another. So you read the phrase here, and then God said, and then God said, and then God said. These are what Hebrew grammarians call vav consecutive clauses. Vav is the Hebrew word for and then. And then this happened next. So God is describing a sequence of events that occur one after the other. There's absolutely nothing in the text or in the language to suggest that millions of years transpired between these events. But someone might ask, well, couldn't each of these days in Genesis chapter 1 be a poetic metaphor for millions of years, not simply a 24-hour day? Possibly. But not if the days of creation are clearly presented here as 24-hour days. And this is exactly what you read. The God-inspired text here describes each day as having an evening and a morning. There was evening and there was morning the first day, verse 5 tells us. And then this expression is repeated. There was evening and there was morning the second day in verse 8. It's repeated with each day all the way down to verse 31. There was evening and there was morning the sixth day. This is the normal language for a literal 24-hour cycle. Now, God makes it even clearer by adding numbers to each day, referring to the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, and so on. Here's a grammatical rule for you to understand. Whenever the Hebrew Bible uses the word day and attaches to it a numerical adjective like the fifth day or the 40th day, it always means a literal 24-hour period of time. Listen, there isn't any other way that God could tell us any plainer that it all happened in six literal 24-hour days. It's as if God knew we'd get so smart one day that we would somehow assume that God would need billions of years to pull this off. But God tells us instead in chapter 1 that he created out of nothing one event following the other as he created the heavens and the earth. God certainly knew that Genesis chapter 1 would be one of the most contested chapters in all the Bible. I've had people tell me over the years, you actually believe that God created everything in six literal days? That would be a staggering miracle. Well, let me tell you something. The miracle isn't so much that he did it in 6 days. The miracle is that he took 6 days to do it. He could have done it all in a moment of time. Now, you've been told all your life, probably, that the earth has to be millions of years old. Scientists tell us that it takes 300 million years for coal to form, so we've got to be at least 300 million years old. Geologists estimate that it took around 6 million years for the Grand Canyon to be eroded by that river, so we have to be at least 6 million years old. Well, if you take the book of Genesis literally and you follow the genealogies and the timeline, the universe and the human race is only around 6,000 years old. Now, we're going to talk more in the future about how the global flood in Noah's day gave the earth the appearance of age. But for now, let me encourage you with one illustration. In the early 1980s, Mount St. Helens erupted twice in Washington state. Millions of trees were uprooted in the blast of that volcanic eruption, and they ended up being swept into nearby Spirit Lake. The log mat and all the sediment and heat and water mixed together suddenly. Well, guess what? The beginning stages of coal development was discovered not millions of years after the eruption, but 5 years later. And the lava, rock, and ice flow that followed the second eruption, it carved out a miniature Grand Canyon. It didn't take millions of years. It took just a few months. If you choose to believe God's word, according to Genesis chapter 1, God created a mature universe instantly. The light of the sun and the stars immediately, miraculously reaching earth. God, by the way, didn't create little embryos, but a fully grown male and female named Adam and Eve on day 6. God created trees already bearing fruit 3 days earlier on day 3. Why? So Adam and Eve and the animals could have something to eat. Sounds like really good timing to me. My friend, Genesis chapter 1 makes God really big, and it makes you and me really small. But let me tell you, a big creator God is the kind of God in whom you can find strength and meaning and hope for your life today. And that's my prayer for you. Well, until we pick up our study next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. This is lesson 2 in our journey through God's Word. This lesson is called When Time Began. We're going to continue through the wisdom journey in the days ahead. In fact, this journey is going to take you through all 66 books of the Bible. Imagine having a comprehensive view of Scripture by investing about 10 minutes per day. That's what's in store for you. And I hope you'll join us each weekday at this same time right here on this station. Would you like to have the study guides in front of you as you listen? That would allow you to follow along and think through some application questions each day. Those are available to members of the crew. Learn more about joining the crew at wisdomonline.org. Between now and the next broadcast, we'd enjoy the opportunity to get to know you. We can't know who's on this journey with us unless you take a moment and tell us. We'd also like your thoughts and comments. You can write to us at info@wisdomonline.org, or you can call us. Our number is 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back here tomorrow at this same time. Join us then for the next leg of the Wisdom Journey.